I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.
Doug, what we got? What we got? What we got? Hit us.
First one comes from June Love Matt, and they want to know, what is your favorite intro or outro to a TV show?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Without even thinking, the first thing that popped in my head when you said that was Community. I really like that Community song, and I like the intro to it.
Mm-hmm.
Off the top of my head, the most recent thing... God, it's become iconic, the Stranger Things intro.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a good one. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, that synth wave kind of brought it back. Yeah.
Classic.
I like the Ted Lasso one because I like the song from Marcus Mumford in that.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's a good song.
Also,
Night Court, man, that theme slaps to this day. Yeah, that's right. I said it. I'm not taking it back. Night Court theme slaps.
Nickelodeon's from the... Was it on Nickelodeon? It may have been. No, probably. I don't think it was. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles back in the day.
It was
Nickelodeon. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That was Fox, wasn't it?
Was it?
Because I watched it on Fox growing up, but I didn't have cable till like the late 90s.
No, I don't know. They own Nickelodeon owns them now.
Yeah,
I forget
when they bought them.
Yes, which it's so fucking weird that theme song was written by Chuck Lorre.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yes.
Wow. Did not know that today.
Isn't that wild? Like, yeah. I remember seeing that. Like, what the fuck? The guy who did that shitty Big Bang Theory show wrote the fucking Ninja Turtles theme song? Fuck off. Man.
Yeah, man. That's wild. That's a good pick, too, because, man, I remember the arcade and losing my mind as a kid hearing it at the arcade. Ah, man.
I like the American Horror Story theme. I don't know why, because it is, it's very weird.
Unnerving.
It's unnerving, but like, I like the doom, doom.
Yeah. It's the boom, weird little boom, crackly boom, sounds and shit that happen during it.
Yeah, but it's all that.
Like, yeah,
the creepy noises that happen. Yeah, like,
yeah,
it is, and it really sets the tone for the show.
It does.
And they do that in American Horror Stories also. But I also like that they change it up for like the different seasons. So when it was like, I don't know, the freak show, like it kind of had a circusy feel to it.
It had the grinding yeah, sound. Yeah, like it was. Yeah, I do like how they cater to each season. You're right.
Community is good. Because they also did that where they kind of tailored some of the theme song openings to whatever was happening. Like there's one
the D&D episodes.
Yeah, the D&D ones. Psych, the show Psych. Anytime there's a special, if it's a Christmas special, it's suddenly like a Christmassy sounding theme. Even though it's the same theme. They do one in Spanish. They do have one that's performed by Boys to Men. Boys to Men does the intro.
Wow.
It's the song. It's the theme song, but it's Boys to Men. It's so fucking good.
Any intro done in the 90s from Jesse Frederick? He did the Full House and the Family Matters themes.
Yeah, right. Any of those?
Those were good. Yeah. Man, also Buffy. And that Buffy theme, that was a good one too. That was Nerf Herder who did that.
Oh, hey guys, fucking I guess Mandalorian doesn't necessarily have an opening.
Yeah, but that crazy man. I don't know if I can give him love. That's a good one too.
But okay, but to follow this up, Austin asked, what about cold open? What's your favorite cold open from a TV show? And I have it right now. The best cold open to a TV show in the history of the world is the Backstreet Boys cold open on Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yep. You're right. There's no other intro that I could think of. You and I like gushed over that for like weeks. Yep. Kevin, don't even think about it. I can't think of anything else.
The Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
It was a good one.
Boys lineup. Cold open was one of the fucking funniest. Mm-hmm. Really, any of the Brooklyn Nine-Nine cold opens are really funny, but that one was just peak.
Mm-hmm.
Just the That one. Number four, he murdered my brother. Oh, so good.
I can't. Yeah, I can't think of any. That's a good one. You keep thinking of them. You picked the best.
Aw. Austin also asked, what is our favorite Mel Brooks movie?
Spaceballs.
Spaceballs. Yeah, that's the first one that comes to mind.
Although, hold on. What's the Western one?
Blazing Saddles.
Blazing Saddles. Yeah, Blazing Saddles.
Has not aged well. No. But still good.
Robin Hood, Men in Tights. Or
that's a good one.
Young Frankenstein.
Young Frankenstein. Okay.
Frankenstein.
This is harder than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, your hump has moved. I have a hump.
Austin also asks, the three of you are stuck on a remote island in the middle of the ocean. Who is the most likely to ensure your survival and or rescue? And it's Jer, right?
I feel like Jer. Yeah, Jer, at least at Comic-Cons, he's always the one that takes initiative on shit. So yeah. I feel like it's Jer.
It's Jer. And then Byron followed it up with, and who's most likely to fuck it up? And it's Kev, right?
It's Kev.
Yeah. It's me.
And then for me, who's the one that's most indifferent to everything and doesn't give a shit? It's me.
Well,
it's
they wrote that question themselves. They basically answered that question themselves. Come on. I mean, if you've listened to this show for more than two episodes, I think you've got your answers there.
Oh, let's see what else we got. We did get some really good ones this week. Nikki wants to know, and Kev, you can talk about this since this probably, you watch this. This is a big deal. If you are a wrestling fan, did you cry? Did you cry when CM Punk returned, and how has his return affected you?
This is, as of recording, it's like one day out, and I will say this, I did tear up and I wanted to cry. However, my wife is next to me. And here's the thing. I feel bad about crying in front of her for things like this because I didn't cry at our wedding. And so it always brings me back to like in 2016, when the Cubs won the World Series, I cried like a fucking baby. And my wife was like, oh, that's adorable. And then she's like, hey, wait, you didn't cry at our wedding. I'm like, fuck. So now when I cry over like stuff like that, I feel bad, but no, I really did. It was something special. When this happened on AEW Rampage on Friday night, and this has been 7 years he's been out of wrestling, and so his return already, I mean, as soon as he left, he was already getting CM Punk chants everywhere. So his return of all places was in Chicago at the United Center. They did all of these things. They even did the Michael Jordan press release afterwards where it just said, I'm back. And it was perfect. They did everything they could perfectly in this situation. Came out to one of the loudest pops I've heard in wrestling. And there was people in the crowd crying. I mean, grown-ass men crying. And you know what? It was beautiful because if a product can drive you to tears, it did its job. Like, that's what I truly believe. Like, you know, TV shows, Ted Lasso, I cry all the fucking time. Dave, cry all the fucking time. You know, and it's like, if a wrestler can do that, man, it was something special. Like a day later, people are still talking about it. It was still the biggest thing to happen. SummerSlam happened on Saturday, and it still was over. Like it overshadowed SummerSlam.
The Man came back, and it still overshadowed that.
Who?
The Man.
Yeah, I see. And I saw that. And like she immediately won a title, which I think is going to piss off a lot of people because Bianca Belair was a fantastic champion. And apparently she just got like squashed. And that makes no sense. But it's WWE going to be WWE. So that's their perfect example. They're like, oh, you guys want to be happy? Oh, OK, we'll just rip the title off of somebody who's really earned their way and give it to someone just coming back. It's like that's a very WWE move. AEW. Doesn't seem to pull that shit. And I think that's why people were really into that CM Punk, like him showing up. And it was special. Like I said, Punk was in tears. He jumped in the crowd. He like crowd surfed at one point.
I saw that and I went, no, man, Delta.
I know. I thought the same thing. Ugh. There was a lot of people without masks in that crowd. And there's a Chicago mandate on masks. I think everyone just fucking, as soon as they got in there, they're like, I don't know what happened.
I didn't watch it live, but I watched all the clips, and even that I was like, I didn't well up in like sadness, but I got that like excitement of like, I don't even watch wrestling anymore. I was a huge wrestling fan back in the Attitude Era. But I don't watch it now, but I still keep up with it, you know? Like, I know the main headlines and stuff that's happening. I just don't watch matches and stuff. So I watched those clips, and I was just like, holy shit. And then the smile on his face, and then the pop. So he got a pop, the biggest pop I've ever heard when he walked out. Yeah. But then they fucking had another pop when he fucking sat down in the ring.
And everything he did was a callback to his original pipe bomb speech, because he did the same thing. He sat, and it was funny, my wife called it out. She's like, why is everyone cheering him for sitting crisscross applesauce? And then I kind of had to explain it. But yeah, he did all that stuff, and he kind of brought back stuff that he was, it was great because he found a way to take a dig at WWE without naming WWE. You know, he said something like, I wasn't going to be able to get over my sickness working for the company that got me sick in the first place. And like that fucking, like it hit. And like I said, yeah, man, I'm excited. And I'm so excited for him to be like, me and Nikki were in the 8-bit Discord chat, like chatting it up in the wrestling section, just losing our minds. Cause we're like, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Oh shit. It's happening.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
What else?
Doug, no comment.
I watched it. One of her follow up questions was like, if you're not a wrestling fan, how did you hear about it? And it's just like, how could you not have heard about it? I mean,
yeah,
it was again, trending number one on Twitter.
It was trending on Twitter. And, I guess enough of the people that I follow on Twitter were posting about it. I don't know how much punches. Of a surprise. I don't know how much of a surprise it was that it was going to happen. I feel like I've heard rumblings about this for a while.
They had a press release afterwards. Apparently this, they've been in talks, I guess CM Punk and Tony Khan, who is the owner of AEW, have been in talks for over a year and a half. He just didn't want to return to an empty arena, which makes perfect sense.
Yeah, fair.
So I think that was perfect because that gave him a year and a half to plan this out. And like I said, they knocked it out of the park. United Center is where the Blackhawks play, and CM Punk goes to almost every Blackhawks game he can. So, I mean, like they welcomed him with open arms. He's got they gave him like a signed Bulls jersey, or like he had like a Bulls jersey, Blackhawks jersey with like Punk on it. And it said 21 because it was the year he came back. Like it was just, yeah, man, so many things. They even handed out free ice cream, which is another dig at WWE. Cause, when he was renegotiating his contract, he was like, I want bring back the wrestling ice cream bars. And then 7 years later, he's like, hey, on your way out, you got some ice cream on me. And they had boxes of ice cream that they were just handing out to people leaving.
Nice.
With his logo on it and everything.
IQ asks, out of Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, and Darth Vader, you have to erase one of them from fiction. Which one do you choose and why?
Who is it? Who do we got?
Superman.
Okay.
Batman. Uh-huh. Spider-Man. Or Darth Vader.
Superman. Easy.
Superman.
He's too OP. Please nerf. Give me some characters. Once again, you're writing a character. Don't, you know, give me a character with some flaws. Give me a character I can relate to. Superman is no one can relate to Superman unless you're a billionaire.
What? That's Batman.
Batman.
Yeah, I'm talking about in real life. You can't afford. I mean, if you're Superman, you're basically, if you're a billionaire, you're untouchable.
So what you're saying is that no one can relate to Superman unless you're an alien.
Yeah. I guess you could do that too.
But no,
who do you know that's an alien?
Can't speak about it.
Yeah, I'm under an NDA.
Yeah, an NDA. Doug made me sign one when I found it. Oh no! Oh no! No, I think I agree. I think Superman. Yeah.
Yeah, I think all the other ones have better stories than Superman. And well, Superman is like iconic in what he is and what he's done for the universe, as far as like, I mean, literally like comic books and like making that whole industry explode. Mm-hmm. I think that Spider-Man's a better character. I think Batman's a better character. Mm-hmm. And I think that Darth Vader is one of the best like villains in the history and of everything.
Yep.
So
I think Superman comes out better as a villain. I think all the storylines where he was like kind of turned, you know, like the Injustice storyline, I loved Superman then because he was like, or the storyline that started off in the original Justice League, I guess. But, you know, with this rogue Superman, that's a Superman I can get behind. But like regular Superman, nah, not son.
We had one that I thought was also really good. We may end on this one if I can find it. And it was like, money is not a problem. But like, if money wasn't a problem, what is one piece of technology, current, like real technology, that you would buy? I don't know, but only one. There's only one thing that you could, but money wasn't an issue. Let's see if I can find it. I don't know where it went. I forget who asked it.
A Sony OLED TV.
Who asked? It's a Mr. E. Musk. If money was no object. If
money was no object, what technology current? Man, that's a tough.
Of course, it was June Lovebat. Dude, they submit the best questions. Yeah, if money was no object, what is a piece of real technology you would love to own? And only one. Hmm. Oh. Real technology, yeah, because we'd all be like, fucking time machines or some shit, right?
Right.
A lightsaber, because that's what we always say.
A robot. Not after Wednesday's conversation. No thanks. Yeah. Man, that's a tough one, man. Because I mean, like, obviously, the first thing I would think of is a big ass, like, technologically, like a 2021, like, perfectly technical house. You know, that's like up to speed with, like, you know, having like, you know, just all kinds of amenities that are 2021 esque, but I don't know if that counts. Cause I mean, just having a big ass house with all that stuff, I think would be awesome, but that could be more than one thing, I guess. Yeah.
A 3080.
Yeah. A PS5.
Yeah. A gaming rig that I wouldn't have to upgrade for another like couple of years because it's top of the line.
True that.
I mean, I'm going to say pre-built. That way I can include a couple of different pieces in there.
But. The Valve VR Index.
I was thinking that the Valve VR, like that Index, that most expensive VR, like that would be pretty rad. If I could finally play Alex or whatever, that Half-Life game that has been eluding me.
Yeah, that's a tough question because there's so much tech out there. I would want to think like, think big, you know, and I'm trying to think of like that, but I just can't. Yeah,
well, and I also think that we're also in like an era where there's a lot of technology, and yes, there is some of it that's really expensive, but none of it seems unobtainable. You know, like there's, you play your cards right, like, you know, you can get a 3080, you can make a really good gaming PC. You know, like the way that TVs are being made now and the sizes that TVs are made, if you're like, oh, I want a home theater system, like, dude, like even like laser projectors are not that expensive anymore. I mean, they really, really good ones can be. They can be like $50,000, but like, you know what I mean? Like, we're some of the stuff we're out looking at, like, man, I wish I had, you know, this, because it's like, well, I mean, you could, if you plan right and you save right, like, some of it's obtainable. It's not, we're not like in, you know, the 90s where it's like, oh my God, could you imagine being able to play 3D games on this like computer that takes up my entire basement? Because it needs all the RAM in the world to run.
Yeah.
So that's why I think it's a little tough. Cause like a lot of the stuff out there is mostly consumer grade stuff that like just about anybody theoretically could buy, you know, I mean, I guess there's more expensive lines of things, but so it makes it tough.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it. That's it for this week. I hope that everybody enjoys their weekend, and we'll see you next week. Until then, I'm Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.